retreats to be alone with God. Worship retreats to be alone with God. Notice with me verse 5 of our main text, Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. It says that he told his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for the worship that you've brought to our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the message and the challenge that you gave us this morning. We pray, Father, that we might just simply commune with you tonight, that we can see the importance of the sacrifice of worship and the sacrifice that is truly required in our lives. Father, we thank you that you have brought us all here tonight. And we pray, Father, for your anointing to be upon each heart that is here, that each heart might be touched by your hand. And Father, we pray that when we leave this place, that we do not leave the way we came. Father, we know that when we are in your presence, that we can never be the same. So Lord, we pray that you would touch each heart that is here. And we thank you now and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. True worship retreats to be alone with God. Years ago, I was facing some things in my life and in my ministry that I just really needed clarity on, that I just really needed to know for sure that this is the direction that God was leading me. I had a work schedule much like the work schedule I have here, which is Sunday morning and then Monday through Thursday, and I was off Friday and Saturday. So I contacted the camp director at Lake Salatisca. They had just finished their motel area. We had had several deacon retreats there, and we had had other youth events there, and so I was familiar with the camp. And so Thursday, I had packed everything up on Wednesday night, and so that after I got home Thursday, I could just grab my bag and head to Lake Salatisca and just spend some quality time with God Himself. That was very significant to me. That was very special in my life because it was a retreat time that I had, and it was just time for me and God. And as I would spend time in prayer and spend time in His Word, many times my mind would drift to my family or my mind would drift to the church. My mind would drift to different ministries within the church, and God would have to bring me back and say, Craig, it's not about the church. It's not about the ministries at your church. It's not about your family. It's about you. When I was there, it was so unique because I would Thursday night, spend time with Him and then eat and spend all evening with Him. Of course, there's no television or radio or cell phone out there. So what's a person do but just spend time with God? And I had convinced myself that this was going to be a great time with God. But after Thursday night, Friday, I woke up and had breakfast and had an early morning encounter with God and had lunch and afternoon, and pretty soon it got to be like, now what do I do? Now what do I do, God? I think I have the clarity that I need. I could probably leave and go home and everything would be fine. God, do I really need to spend another 24 hours here? I mean, I think I've got what I was looking for. And God said, no, you haven't. You've just scratched the surface of what I have in store for you. You have just started the journey here at Lake Salatisca that I want to take you on. And I said, well, God, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you just to spend some quality time with me. And so I would go down and go around the lake onto the backside. And it was amazing. God brought me to a point of worship. I had never worshiped like that before. It was special because it wasn't just songs that I was singing. But I was truly in His presence, and I would walk and I would have a song in my heart and I would sense His presence. And as Saturday had rolled around, instead of trying to figure out what God wanted me to do, I was wanting to figure out how I could extend this time with God. Because true worship retreats to be alone with God. True worship wants to touch the face of God and put everything else aside. Notice that worship is a one-on-one thing. Even in a corporate setting, worship is a one-on-one thing. God is speaking to your heart as you are worshiping Him. And He is relieving fears. He is giving direction. He's giving confirmation. He is allowing you the privilege of coming into His space. We have made worship so frivolous, so routine. What would happen if we wanted to sing another song? What would happen if we decided not to sing at all, but just commune with Him? Do we have that liberty? Do we have that type of freedom? Because true worship retreats to be alone with God. It's a one-on-one thing, even in the corporate setting. And what's even more grand is when we have had that kind of experience with God throughout the week, we have sensed His presence, we have been worshiping Him all week long, and now we come together corporately, and God is able to do things in our lives that attract the unbeliever in this world. Why? Because they get to see a glimpse of Almighty God. Why couldn't Abraham take his servants with him? He said, you guys stay here and the boy and I are going to go up over there and then we're going to worship and then we're going to come back. Why wouldn't Abraham want his servants to experience the finer things of Almighty God? Because it was a sacred moment. It was sacred for Abraham, because God had spoke to him and he was going to sacrifice his son. It was a sacred thing between him and Almighty God. And it didn't involve spectators. It was private. And because it was so private, God was able to direct him in a way that he'd never been able to direct Abraham before. I can imagine what some of the people at Lake Salatisca thought. Here's a pastor from Vandalia, and he is going to stay Thursday night, Friday night, and most of all day Saturday, and then he's going to leave. And here he is, he's out walking around, he's communing with God, and that's fine. And I'm sure they'd noticed that I'd pray in different places. But there were other people there. There were some kids there. There were some groups there. They had some activities going on. And I can imagine what some of the people thought or some of the things that were going through their minds. True worship puts all of those things aside. Oh, I noticed some of the activities going on, but it was as though no one else was there. Some of the greatest things in life have been so sacred to me that when I get to those places, it seems like the busyness of this world creeps in and steals those sacred moments in my life. That's why I believe it's important that we must leave behind everything that hinders. We have to leave all of those things behind because they just seem to get in the way. Have you ever worshiped in the car as you're driving down the road? Or is that just something I do from time to time? You can't really worship on a busy freeway though, right? Because you've got people that are coming up strong behind you that are passing and cutting you off, and you have to really focus on your driving when you're in busy five-lane Washington, D.C. traffic. You have to really focus. But in the stillness of the night, even on a windy, curvy road, when it's just you in the car, there's a lot of times that I've had some very special times and moments and conversations with Almighty God in the car. Once in a while, He'll have to remind me to open my eyes. It's always good to drive with your eyes open. Those special moments are moments that I cherish. A special moment that I had before I came to this church. Because I had a really loving church that I could preach at and I could retire at, and they could, you know. Pocahontas was a dreamboat of a church. There are times in our lives where we need clarity. And the busyness of this world seems to creep in, and as it creeps in on us, as those things distract, those things hinder us from getting clarity from Almighty God. And when we come to worship, we've got to leave all of those things behind so that we can truly focus on Him. That's why it's important to know the sacrifice that's required in order to worship. It's not a frivolous thing to come into the presence of God. God does not allow us to just come in as we are. First of all, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But when we come into His presence, it's not a frivolous thing. Many times, and I Baptist churches are probably the worst of all. We come in and we talk. It's a social gathering. We talk and we talk and we talk and so forth. And that's good. That's all right. But when it comes time to worship, that's the most important time. Oh, the preaching of the Word is important, but it doesn't compare to the worship of God. See, God is interested in your heart being open to Him through worship. Because when your heart is open to Him through worship, now the heart is open to receive the Word. But if our heart isn't open to worship because of all the things going on in our lives, then our hearts are not open to receive the Word that's being preached. That's why it's a prerequisite for effective service. It's a prerequisite for everything we do. That's why it's a reflection of our entire life. Because true worship recognizes that God has spoken, responds to what He has said. God requires the best that we have to offer. True worship retreats to be alone with God. Fifthly, worship rejoices the heart of God. Rejoices in the heart of God. I want you to notice the picture of Abraham going up. Here's a man that has had family strife. He has sent Hagar and Ishmael off. And now he's got Isaac, the promise of God. He has received word from God that God wants him to sacrifice his only son on a mountain 3 days' journey away. So he gets to the place. He tells his servants, "You guys stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going to go over there and worship, and then we're going to come back." Now, I don't know if Abraham knew that God was going to provide the sacrifice. I do know that Abraham was trusting God. But can you imagine what was going on in Abraham's heart and mind as they were going up Mount Moriah? Here's Isaac, probably early teens. Maybe he is 12, 13, I don't know. Asking questions, following dad's lead. There's nothing sweeter than father and son bonding times, bonding moments. I have in my office at home, I've often wanted to bring it, put it up here, but people would think, why is a target on the wall at the church? It's a target. It's got holes in it, by the way. A few Father's Days ago, Nathan and his father-in-law and myself and Isaac went to the gun range for some male bonding time. There was nothing sweeter. That's the greatest Father's Day gift that I think I've ever received. Not because I shot well, but because it was a time of bonding with my son and his son. Learning how to shoot. Learning gun safety. I've hung that in my office as a reminder of those sweet times. The other Saturday night, went over to Nathan's house. Oh, it was on a Monday night, wasn't it? To figure out his electrical. Midway in the electrical process, here comes Isaac. Now, Addison has been helping Nathan more than Isaac has. Isaac is more on the game thing. Anyway, Isaac comes down to spend time with Dad and Papa. And we said, "What are you doing down here?" "I'm going to learn how you do these things." "Oh, really?" "Really?" "Yes, because Daddy learned them from you, and I want to learn them from Daddy." "That's good, son. That's real good." I mean, it was a cherished time until mom came down and said, I told you to go take a bath. Then we learned the true motive behind Isaac's attendance in the basement. But father and son times are very, very special. And Abraham's on a slow pace. He's not taking big steps. He's on a slow pace because he knows what lies at the top. He knows that he has to be obedient. He knows he wants to meet with God. He knows he's going to touch the face of God. He knows that it's going to be something special. But he also knows that there may not be any more father-son things going on. Because he's going to have to offer Isaac, his only son, as a burnt offering. And as he would contemplate that and walk up that mountain, slow and steady, determined, I would imagine his face was set as steel because he was going to be obedient. Have you ever been tested that way? I have. I've shared some of that with you before. So he gets up there and they build the altar. They put the wood there. He lays his son there. Probably embraces him in a kiss. The moment has come. There's no more time to delay. He raises the knife. And he, as he is about to thrust the knife through Isaac, God cries out through an angel from above, Abraham, Abraham, hurt not the child. There's a ram over here in the bushes. Go get him. I'm providing the sacrifice for your burnt offering this day. So Abraham takes Isaac off of the altar. They go get the ram. They put the ram on the altar. They slay the ram. They light the wood on fire. And they worship God because God has been faithful. Can you imagine the picture of Abraham coming down off the mountain? I would imagine that he was had a smile on his face. I would imagine he was leaping and dancing and rejoicing and praising and shouting to his servants, hey, we're coming back. We're on our way. We'll be there in a little bit. See, he didn't come down the same way he went up. God does not want us leaving the same way we came. Because when we encounter Almighty God and we've opened our heart of worship to Him and we've been able to touch His precious face and hear His Word, there is no way we can leave the same as we came. True worship rejoices the heart of God. Lastly, true worship results in blessings. Look with me at the end of the story in verse 16. and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand of the seas, of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Some translations say, because you have obeyed me this day. God was pleased. Now, God is omniscient. Amen? God knows all things. He knows the future as we know the past. Was God testing him to find out if he was going to be faithful? No. No. God already knew he was going to be faithful. God already knew the outcome of that encounter on Mount Moriah. God was pleased because now Abraham knew. Abraham now knew how great and glorious and how God provides. That's why God was pleased. God was pleased because now Abraham knew. Sometimes God will allow us that testing so that we can see ourselves as He sees us. He allows that in our lives. So that He can be paramount. So that we can rely upon Him more solely. God was pleased beyond measure. And then God blessed him. God blessed him and continued to bless him and his descendants. Did Abraham get anything out of it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had encounters with God like that myself. Is that rewarding to us? Yes, it is. But it's not done for that purpose. When we have been tested and we have been found faithful, there is nothing greater to experience in life than to know that the God of this universe that breathed the breath of life into us, that has been guiding us, took the time out of His busy schedule to do a work in our lives. There's nothing greater in this world. Sometimes, I hate to share this because Dwayne's here. Sometimes when I'm out in the deer stand during deer season, it's a time of prayer, it's a time of worship, it's a time of appreciating nature. I think there's a lot of hunters that do that. They're able to go out into nature and to leave the busyness of life to where it's just them and the squirrels. Just them and the birds. And when they do hear a noise, it's a rabbit. That's what's special about being alone with God. Rejoicing in the heart of God, but more than that, it results in blessings. To know that the God of this universe took the time to whisper your name. There's a little rule that I have. It involves two things. We worship the one we trust. And we trust the one we know. When we are coming to worship, The worship climaxes in our lives when we have been intimate with Him all week long. But when we're not intimate with Him all week long, it's flat. It's boring. It's frivolous. And many times, we leave the way we came. I want you to know tonight that when you leave, every time you leave, if you leave the way you came, you didn't meet God. It's that simple. In closing, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, there's a prophecy being given about, through the house of Eli, concerning the house of Eli. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says, "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained." When we fail, when we fail to have intimacy with God through the week, it's as though we love too many other things in our lives. Too many things have crept into our life that's stealing the attention that God needs in our lives. And when those things happen, God's not pleased. That's why He says, those that honor me, I will honor them, and those that hate me, they will be disdained. It's not necessarily that you hate God. It is, though, a fact that when we don't spend time with Him, we're saying all those things are more important than Him. That's why worship retreats to be alone with God. It rejoices the heart of God. And there are blessings as a result. When we have truly been with God, it's the greatest experience imaginable. The writer of Romans said these words in Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable." I left one out. "That which is good and acceptable will of God." I still left one out. Perfect. There we go. Word perfect. "I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. God is not interested in us bringing dead sacrifices anymore. What God is interested in is a living sacrifice. What good is a dead sacrifice? A living sacrifice. As we sacrifice our lives and allow Him to live His life through us, guiding us and directing us. And we have the intimacy through the week, worshiping with Him. Then when we get together corporately, it's still a one-on-one thing. That's why you see people close their eyes, because they're blotting out everything that might distract. And when we meet with God, we can truly say that it is good. Because God is good. And all the time. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We pray that tonight we might bring ourselves to you as a sacrifice. We pray tonight, Father, that as we leave this place, that we're not leaving you here, but that we're taking you with us every place we go. That we can have intimacy with you tonight and tomorrow and the following days. And Father, we thank you that it's not a cheap thing to come into your presence. It's not a cheap thing to offer a sacrifice. You gave us the ultimate sacrifice in your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray that you will dismiss us, and Father, that you will continue to guide us and to bless us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.